everyone, this is Michael Dunlop from IncomeDiary.com, and today I am interviewing Yaro Starek from EntrepreneursJourney.com. Welcome, Yaro.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's nighttime here, so it's been a good day.
All right, cool. I'll jump straight in there so you can get to bed sometime soon. All right.
Not too soon. It's only 9 o'clock.
All right. So the first question is, you're most known for your blog, which I just mentioned, EntrepreneursJourney.com, and making money online. So would you like to give us a brief introduction on how you actually started making money from blogging?
Sure, yeah. I'll give you the short version because it could be a long story otherwise. I've been making, or at least running some sort of internet-based business for almost 10 years now. I started while I was in university. I was given a free dial-up internet access account back in 1998. That's when I started playing around with websites, and that led me to building, I guess, my first profitable venture, the first that made money. That was a website I built on a card game I used to play as a teenager called Magic the Gathering. I built a little fan site for it and started sticking up some advertisements and made up to about $500 a month. So it wasn't huge money, but it was pretty awesome as a university student to have that income stream, so I never had to get a part-time job or anything like that. And that was during like sort of the dot-com boom area, so I started getting really interested in starting some sort of startup company that hopefully would get be bought out for millions of dollars. That didn't happen. But it did lead me to start lots of different ventures. And a few years later, I found myself running a proofreading business, an online proofreading business, where I wasn't a proofreader. I basically connected professional proofreaders with university students, particularly international university students. So I had a nice little business going there. And someone told me that blogs were great for search engine rankings. So that's actually the main reason why I started, or at least investigated blogging, was to start one for that proofreading business. And it was a short-lived experiment because I really did not like writing about that subject. Proofreading is quite a boring subject. But I did enjoy kind of like playing with blogging. So what happened is I just switched it over from like a, I guess, slash blog at that proofreading website to what now is Entrepreneur's Journey, and started to write pretty much what I enjoyed talking about, which was entrepreneurship, you know, internet business, just business in general, a little bit of self-development, that sort of subject area. And 4.5 years later, I'm still doing it. So, you know, it hasn't stopped.
Brilliant. So you know your stuff when it comes to blogging. So my next question is, there is so much conflicting advice out there about making money blogging. What is the biggest thing new bloggers should stay away from right now?
Well, I think it's the biggest mistake, or at least the biggest attitude shift that people need to make, is the idea of quick money and you know, get rich quick scheme sort of idea with blogging and with anything online, really. If people are looking to start making an income, there's really nothing out there that will make you quick money. You might make quick money as you get lucky, but it very unlikely will it be sustained. So I think a lot of people enter the making money with blogging area with the sort of a desperation in their attitude, which is understandable. You might have just lost your job, or you hate your job and you need to find an income stream, and you know, you've got this sense of urgency, a sense of panic. And when you're in that sort of mentality, people generally tend to look for quick money. And unfortunately, that's the absolute opposite of what they should be doing. You know, you should look at this as a business and, you know, make that decision as like you do starting any business. It should be something you do a bit of research in. You should be, you know, learning a lot and not expecting instant results and building something over time. And that's been my philosophy with blogging as well. You know, it's certainly possible to start getting results quickly, but if you need to be making $2,000 by the end of the month and you're hoping that some sort of online business, blogging, for example, is the way to that, then I'd adjust your expectations and, you know, have a fail-safe. Get yourself a part-time job first. This is what I did. I had a part-time job while I built up my blog. You know, eventually that blog can become a full-time income source and then become much more than a full-time income source. And you know, for me today, it's a multiple six-figure business. It's the, you know, it's a center point for that. But I've had to do some work. I've had to focus on what I think are my core strengths. I'd have to learn a hell of a lot about running an internet business, and I have to be consistent. So, you know, there's a lot of lessons to go through and definitely a lot of education needed. But as long as you've got the right mindset, and really I think that's what I'm talking about right here, is having the the right mindset about what you're doing, you will succeed.
Brilliant advice. All right. Everyone who's listening or reading this interview right now, I completely agree. When I start my blogs, I sort of have the end in mind and sort of see not just making money right now, but in years to come, possibly selling it or making a good passive income. All right, so my next question is, you learned how to make money blogging, and then I understand you decided to create a membership website teaching people exactly how you just done that. How did you go about creating your first membership website and attracting your first paying customers?
It's a bit insidious, that, isn't it? You know, you hear people make money, and they start a program to teach how they make money, then they start a program to teach how they teach how they make money. So it can be quite insidious like that. But, you know, I actually just wrote an article to my blog regarding this subject, and no one should ever feel bad because they're making money doing something and also making money teaching how to do it. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. If I was, you know, an investor in real estate, I would make money, you know, buying and selling property, and I'd also make money teaching people how to buy and sell property if I was good at it. The key there is being good at something. So, you know, in my case, I noticed that I was actually getting good at blogging, and I started seeing my income, you know, it started like 500 a month, then 1,000 a month, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000. When I started seeing, you know, 10,000 a month, I'm going, whoa, this is six-figure sort of income here. You know, even before that, sort of 4,000 a month, this is a salary. This is what most people dream of. Quit their job, right, you know, to an internet business, a couple hours a day of work, and a lot of freedom, a lot of free time. I thought, wow, this is something people want. So that was sort of, I guess, when I decided, okay, I can definitely, I have an angle here, first of all, because I've done it, and I have enough to teach. So that was the belief I had to, you know, really have first. And that's pretty important because a lot of people try and start teaching or selling products on how to do something when they haven't done it. So credibility and authenticity there is really critical. So once I had the proof and I'd done it for, you know, I'd made some money over many, many months and I'd quit my job and I paid for my house and all this sort of stuff, I really felt that I was in a situation to start teaching as well. So, and I should also say that I was studying internet marketing as well, and I just loved the idea of information publishing and, you know, selling your expertise. So I did some research, and I had a lot of false starts. I started writing an ebook. It took me 6 months to pretty much write it or get about 80% of the way through, and I started playing with the technology to deliver it, and it just took so long. And after a year of pretty much false starts, I said, oh, this is ridiculous. I finally had someone say, you know, membership sites are the way to go, and I saw what they were doing, and I said, all right, next 2 months, I'm going to sit down, get the membership site out the door, and actually, you know, have a product. Because I had heard over and over again two pieces of advice from internet marketers. One, have a list, and two, have a product. So obviously, I need to heed those wise words as a blogger, because bloggers don't naturally build email lists, and very rarely do they produce products. And I wanted to be, you know, a very successful internet marketer, not just a successful blogger. I wanted to use my blog to take me to the next level. So I did launch a blogging training program. It's called blogmastermind.com. And I was quite a quick rollout, actually. Once I finally put the pieces together and really committed to it, you know, I'd studied Jeff Walker's product launch formula. I'd studied Mike Filsing's butterfly marketing. I had his software. You know, I played with some scripts. I eventually installed, for my first launch of my membership site, I used Butterfly Marketing to deliver the product. I did a launch. I rolled out through, I guess, sort of the Jeff Walker technique, definitely a lot of influence from Jeff Walker and his techniques for launching products, and a lot of influence from some other people. I modeled their membership sites, Andrew and Dale Grant. They're some well-known marketers here in Australia. So I sort of combined those two and mixed in my own sort of style. Obviously, I had a blog that was successful, so I used that as my launch pad and rolled out this membership site. And I opened up for, I think it was a week, at an introductory price of $47 a month. And I think within the first week, I got almost 400 members. So it was really, you know, I had no idea what to expect. And I was, you know, looking at 50 members as what I'd call successful, because that would be enough people to, you know, I'd be making a couple of grand a month. I was happy to teach the program. I mean, the great thing about the model I used, I didn't have to create the product until I started the members. So I only had a little bit of the product created. So I just spent the next 6 months teaching those 400 people creating the product. And then within 6 months, I could reopen it again. So it's a fantastic model, and I really do recommend it to anyone.
All right, brilliant, brilliant. And you did just touch on bloggers do need to create a mailing list. Do you have any tips on how they should go about doing that?
Well, I'm a big fan of AWeber. I've been using their service for almost as long as I've been blogging. And they're my email newsletter service. I've got almost 60,000 people on them, on my different email lists, and it's the basis of my business. Everything is through that list. So my advice to anyone listening is sign up to AWeber. If you don't like AWeber for some crazy reason, GetResponse would be the next choice I'd recommend. You definitely want some sort of dedicated email autoresponder that's focused on that and that alone and really has good delivery, you know, good features in terms of what it can do with segmenting email lists and using follow-up sequences and, you know, moving one person from one list to the other, all these kind of features you get with services like AWeber and GetResponse. And then the next thing I recommend you do is get an opt-in box on your blog. That's the obvious thing to do as the first step to start building that list. Create some kind of incentivized offer, like a free report or an email course or a series of videos or audios, something that is a clear offer of value in exchange for that person entering their name and email. Put that box on your blog somewhere at the very top, you know, left side, right side, or maybe use a pop-up if you want to do that, or both, those sort of things. And start getting people who are targeted onto an email list. And even if you don't know what product you're going to release, starting that list now will mean when you do have a book you've written, or you've had someone else write, or you do a membership site, or even if you just record, you know, 10 videos and sell that for $50, you've got a list to start selling to as well as your blog. So you've got two ways to communicate with people. So that's the strongest piece of advice I can give you right now if you're just getting started in this game.
All right, brilliant. I got this question here. So you make money from blogging, and then you teach people how to make money from blogging, and then you've taught people how to make money from a membership website. So I just wanted to touch on this because I want to know what's been the best for making money online for you. Is it your blog or is it your membership website, and why is it your favorite?
I told you it was insidious, and now I can start the membership site.
Wait. Membership site. Let me just make this clear to everyone. Actually, Yarrow is a good guy. I mean, I can't count the amount of times my dad's called me down and said, "Hey, you've got to check this thing Yarrow's doing." Yarrow's one of the top guys in the business, and you can trust this guy. All right, you can carry on.
Your dad says so. It's got to be right.
Of course.
I should clarify all this. I could not even start my blog. This is, if you want to go back to the real reason why I'm successful, is I spent, before that 4.5 years, 5.5 years starting different websites and businesses. Some were successful, some were not. They gave me the experience to create valuable content to write a blog on entrepreneurship. You know, I can tell you right now, you know, if we really want to say what's my most profitable business, I have to say is my blog, because the membership sites don't exist without the blog. I may not derive directly as much income from the blog. It's the membership sites that, you know, in terms of cash flow, if I was to show you my accounting books, will show you much more money. But, you know, I don't have any credibility. I don't have any audience. I don't have any relationships. I don't have anything that gave me the leverage to launch those membership sites without the blog. So there's a chicken and egg relationship here. You got to build the blog first, or some way of getting attention, getting an audience, before you can have success releasing your own products like a membership site. And in my case, to create value and get some traffic back to me, get some attention, I had to have stories to tell. So, you know, if you look back at my blog, you could go back to the first 2 years and you would see I was talking about running my proofreading business. I was talking about running an English school, which was in the real world. So I talked about, you know, how to find office space to run the English school, how to get clients, you know, how to do guerrilla marketing, like putting up posters and advertising my proofreading business. Before that, it was the hobby website. So I talked about how to, you know, get forums populated and get, you know, build a popular forum, and how to put banners on websites and make money from banner advertising. So every experience I had, I started to regurgitate onto the blog, and that created the value in the first place. So, you know, it's easy now today to sort of look at the surface outcome and the surface situation and sort of think, yeah, wait a sec, this guy's teaching how to make money using a blog that's on how to make money, and then he's teaching how to make money blogging in a membership site, and then he's teaching how to make membership sites and making money off that. That doesn't sound right, but there is a sequence of events, and there is value. Obviously, no one would give me money if they weren't getting any value from what I teach. And honestly, I couldn't teach what I teach if I hadn't done it. And that's, you know, that's the key here. So, you know, first impressions can be a bit deceiving sometimes. So make sure you look and try and see what people are teaching you. First of all, for free. Like I always tell people, don't join any of my programs or, you know, anything like that until you've read the free stuff I give, because that will give you an indication of whether I'm, you know, helpful to you. So read my free reports, read my blog, watch my videos, listen to my audios, and then you'll know whether it's of value to you or not.
Brilliant. All right, cool. So my next question is that, you mentioned earlier that you only opened, your first blogging course, Blog Mastermind, for only a few days. Is there any reason why you only open it for a few days, and how has it impacted on the business?
Well, to clarify, the very, very first opening of Blog Mastermind was actually opening at a price for only a few days. So the first 7 days was $47, then it bumped to $77, but it remained open. And then I closed it a few months later after that. And then it stayed closed for, I think, about 4 or 5 months while I was traveling overseas, and I reopened it while I was overseas. So... But to cut a long story short, the reason why you do any sort of, there's multiple reasons, but let's talk about the marketing first. Scarcity is by far the most powerful trigger point as a marketing tool. So, you know, people tend to fence it and they leave things for later. And if, you know, there's a sense of urgency, a sense of scarcity, a need to actually make a decision, that's more likely to trigger them to make that decision. And in my experience, making something limited in terms of availability is the best way. And obviously also having a price incentive. If they say themselves, you know, 30% a month, if they join now rather than joining tomorrow, it's a simple decision, and that will force them to make a decision too. On top of that, there's certain strategies I teach with membership sites, and I'm not the only person who uses these things, but you know, if you develop a membership site over time, like I said before, I launched my product with maybe 10% of the content of my membership site ready, and then I built it over the next 6 months. So the other justification, say, for offering a lower price is you have a charter group. So the first group of members are getting a cheaper rate because they're actually helping you create the product. And, you know, they're going through the lessons as you create them, or whatever content you produce, if it's not a teaching program, whatever the case is. And they're giving you feedback. So they're telling you, I like this, I didn't like this, I need to know this. And that's very valuable. So you reward that feedback they give you with a discount. And then, you know, when you reopen it, it's a complete course. So when I closed my program down and then when I opened it again several months later, I had an entire program ready to sell. So I could actually sell it as an upfront product as well as a membership site. And that's a benefit worth noting. You usually make more money, or you certainly make easier money on the second run through, depending on how you go, simply because you can actually sell the product as a standalone product as well as a membership site. So there are all kinds of subtle things like that go into doing a launch.
All right, brilliant. Thanks for sharing that advice. You've been in this business for quite a few years now, and I'm sure you've mentioned two great pieces of advice you've been given, which has obviously impacted on your business. What advice would you give to someone else who wants to start their business?
Well, the first thing is to start.
Yeah, that's the obvious. Just do it. Yep.
Yep. You know, it's amazing how many of these sort of interviews you might listen to from people who are, you know, making any kind of money online or even offline, and the first thing they'll say is do something, take action. So let's just assume that you're going to take action. I find there's a couple of really big sticking points people have. Mindset is one thing. So, and this is something that's difficult, because mindset is, you know, your set of beliefs, the way you've been brought up, the people you associate with, how you think. This is something that can be very difficult to change. And often you don't realize how your thinking is actually holding you back. So I recommend to deal with the mindset issue is actually, education is huge, and that can be for free. You can get out there and just watch what other people do, read other blogs, read free reports, study videos, study audios. You don't want to do that forever. You definitely, as we mentioned before, take action. So a little bit of study to give you that general awareness. And this is important because, there's a phrase, you don't know what you don't know. And that's the first thing you have to deal with. So that education helps you to understand what you don't know and become aware of it. And that gives you at least the awareness. And from then you can decide what parts you actually do need to learn. So it's important to do that first. Secondly, after mindset, this is just a thing for the internet. Technology, it's it's a necessary evil. If we want to make money on the internet, we have to do websites, we have to use email, you know, autoresponders like AWeber. There's a lot of technical issues, especially for people who are brand new to the internet, they struggle with, because it's just scary. People are scared of HTML code or CSS or servers or FTP and all these things that are for people not technically savvy, just make you want to run and hide. So the piece of advice I recommend to a lot of people, if you're resonating there with what I'm saying, is to actually either outsource straight away, you know, acknowledge the fact that you're not good at technology and say, listen, I want my website to look like that, but I want my photo there instead or something like that, and just have someone else build it for you. It's going to cost you a bit of money up front, but it will save you a lifetime of headaches. If you are technically able, just be careful you don't spend too much time focusing on the technology, because in my experience, I started my blog and actually installed it myself. I started playing with scripts and plugins, and I did a lot of work in the sort of first, well, even before my blog, I spent probably 3 or 4 years playing with technology. And in the first year or two of blogging, I did a lot myself, and it slowed me down tremendously. I played with my blog design, and I'm not a good web designer. It's not a strength of mine. So I'd spend, you know, 4 or 5 days to do something. It takes an hour for someone who's good at it. So it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It just slows you down to success. So I really recommend you look for people and partner with people, hire people, outsource to people who are good at technology if that's not your strong point. And that'll just accelerate your progress really, really quickly.
Brilliant advice. Personally know nothing about design or programming, and I did just do exactly what you said. I found someone who was good and got them to start my site, and that's really what it's about, getting started and get someone to help.
Your site looks great too.
I know.
So you've obviously got a great design.
So I think like everyone said that. It's really cool. Thanks. All right, cool. So if you had to start all over again and you could get in a time machine, and what would you tell yourself? What would you do differently to make more money online?
To make more or to make quicker?
Up to you.
Well, you know, like I said, there's a couple of things that I mentioned before, obviously, with the technology that slowed me down. So I definitely outsource a lot quicker than I did now, and learn to find my strengths quicker, too. I think there is an issue, and this is something we all face when we don't have a market. I'm noticing a lot of my students have this issue, is they haven't got a niche yet, and they're trying to discover what it is they can make money with and also what they want to spend time working on. There's a tough to get those two to line up together. You know, often you can find a niche that's, you know, making money, but it's about some weird thing like fish tanks. And frankly, unless you're a fish tank fan, it's boring as all hell. So you're just doing it for the money. And that's, for me, that's not what it's about. It's also about really caring about the subject matter. So there's a bit of a balance there. And one of the, I think the key learnings I did, and this is only in the last couple of years, was to really reflect on what it is I wanted to do for my business. What was the role I wanted? Did I want to write my content? Did I want to make my websites? Did I want to be doing regular coaching calls? Did I want to attend events and speak on stage? All these opportunities were being presented to me, and I know what I want to do and what my strengths are. In my case, I like to create content, but really I want to focus in writing online, and, you know, a little video, a little audio, but writing is my main thing. So I tried to then take every other component of my business and get other people to do it, and also choose the opportunities that let me leverage that and sort of skip the ones that I don't want to do right now. So like I've said no to an awful lot of speaking gigs simply because I don't want to travel around that much. Going back further, though, if you're right, the start of this adventure, you need to figure out what your market is. So I would make sure you do a couple of things. I would go back and do more extensive research on topics that can make money. I tend to do things like a war of attrition. I'll pick a subject that I like and just keep hammering away at it, hoping that it will eventually make money. And I've got a couple of failures because of that. I had a website called youngactivist.com many, many years ago before I started blogging. I spent about 6 months just playing with the HTML to get it to look pretty like a magazine. This is before blogs were available, and no WordPress or anything like that. And I launched the website, and I wrote a couple of articles for it, and then no one ever read it. And I've lost interest completely because of that. So I basically threw 6 months worth of development work because I was just having fun doing the development. But it wasn't, there's no, like, I can talk about it now as a little case study of what not to do, but that's about the biggest extent of the advantage I got from doing that. So you know, pick your opportunities wisely. Don't jump into anything too quickly. I would definitely gravitate to the money, but make sure you like the subject as well. You know, I said this at the beginning, find things where you can see a future for yourself in, unless you're just planning on building and flipping. Some people, that's their strength. They just can see where money is, create something to get in front of that money, and then sell it. And that's fine, too, if you love that aspect of what you're doing. So, you know, I would definitely heed that if you're just starting this at the beginning of, you know, blogging or making money online, whatever you're doing at the moment.
All right, wicked. One thing any reader of your site will know is you've traveled a lot and you live a pretty cool lifestyle. What is the top thing about being an internet entrepreneur and living the internet lifestyle?
Well, the freedom is the key word, and yeah. Everyone will agree with me here. Freedom is what we all want. No, it's funny. People sort of ask, what do you want from your life? And I think there's a lot of different words you can use to describe things. Some people say, I want experience. That's what I want to do. And that's true. I think we all want to experience different things in our life, but we all want different experiences. Some of us love traveling. Some of us just want to stay home with our kids and not have to go to work. Some of us, you know, want to be constantly educating ourselves and hanging out with superstars. So they want to get on the speaking tour and meet people and, you know, become famous. So for all that to happen, you have to have the freedom to do so. So the reason why I love what I do is I have an income stream that is largely independent of me, as long as I do a sort of handful of core activities, which I've chosen to do. I want to do. I love writing blog posts. And as long as I still love that, I get a lot of leverage out of it because it builds my audience. And those people eventually, some of them buy my products. They, you know, help me buy affiliate products. They click my advertisements. They allow me to get sponsors. So I'm able to make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars from a collectively 10 hours a week worth of work. So that's a fantastic return on investment there. And the rest of the time is whatever I want to do. You know, I traveled for 8 months of last year. I really wanted to see a lot of places and do this sort of internet running a business, see family in Canada, see Europe for the first time. And I did that and it was great, but now I want to stay at home and really, you know, settle in for at least this year. I'm not going to be doing any traveling beyond sort of, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, close to where I am now. And you know, it's great that I have this freedom. I just bought a new apartment in the suburb I wanted to live in for all my life. And, you know, everything's great in that regard. And I can, you know, I've been watching a lot of DVDs, watching Entourage. I've been exercising, you know, I play tennis. There's no such thing as a weekend for me because every day can be a weekend if I want to. But when there's a product launch to do, I love doing that too. You know, we just rolled out a reopening of a blog training program called Become a Blogger, and that was a lot of fun. I love doing that as well as making the money. So, and let's not forget, it's great to have people who appreciate and recognize what you're doing. So whether there are people who just read your blog for free, whether there are people who buy your products and benefit from that, either way, it's nice to have recognition for your work. So there's an element there that needs to be considered too, especially if you are a teacher or a mentor or a coach or some kind of leader in a marketplace. You know, there's a lot of kudos there that I think people desire as a core human motivation for what you do in your life. So those sort of things, freedom, recognition, financial, enough money to do what you want when you want, and, you know, good friends, travel if you want to. That's wonderful stuff.
All right. Glad you're having fun. All right. I got a few quick fire questions just to finish off this interview, just to learn a bit more about you. What do you like most about the internet?
Ooh, I like the globalness of it. I'm amazed that I now can keep in touch with people around the world, and people around the world know me. It's impressive. I landed in all kinds of cities around the world, and there are people who want to meet up with me because of my blog, and that's just incredible. And look what we're doing right now. Where are you?
I'm in England.
You're in, yeah. How far away is that from Britain? Like halfway around the world. So, you know, look what we're doing now. You sound like you're my next door neighbor. So, it's incredible.
All right, and what do you like least about the internet?
I'd say as a health concern, there's some issues with it. You know, people tend to spend a lot of time staring at a monitor, often sitting hunched over and squinting at code. That's not good, people. So, and I've actually taken steps to avoid that now. I have a stand-up desk. I'm talking to you standing up right now. I'm not sitting in a chair. And I've got a massive screen, 30-inch cinema display from Mac, and I don't sit here for too long because I know in the past when I was, especially when I used to design my own web pages, sore eyes. And that was not a good sign for, you know, a guy in your 20s. You don't want to be getting sore eyes. So I made some changes. So anyone listening to this, definitely watch your body and your eyes when you're using the computer for long periods of time.
All right, cool. And I know you've met a load of really cool people. Is there anyone you look up to or model yourself on?
Well, in the internet marketing community, I do really admire a lot of guys. You know, I mentioned Jeff Walker from Product Launch Formula, Rich Sheffrin, Strategic Profits is his company, and in particular his Internet Business Manifesto and the coaching program behind that. That was really good. I did that. All the internet marketers, Frank Kern, Mike Vilsame, John Rees, Eben Pagan has been huge for me lately. I've been studying a lot of his stuff. These guys in particular, I don't have, I guess, heroes in my industry. The heroes, I think, are the people you don't see very much. You know, the doctors, the nurses, the people working in third world countries and saving lives. That's what I think is heroism. But because I'm interested in internet marketing, as mentors, those guys I really connect with because we share the same interests, and I model what they're doing. I don't necessarily even have to take the teaching program, but I study what they do. I study how they do it. I might buy their product just to see how they deliver it and what they teach, because it's very relevant to me. And let's face it, we're all in the same industry, so we can all be friends. And that's a community. Community is another, I think, a thing really important to us as human beings. So, yeah, those guys are all really important to me.
All right, brilliant. And my last question here is, what is the best advice you have ever been given?
Ooh, that's advice I've been given. You know what? I'm gonna get a bit spiritual here, but I think some of the stuff you might learn goes way beyond what we're talking about. But if you study anything for like Eckhart Tolle or living in the now, realizing that basically you're in charge of everything and what happens to you. You are how you think. Thinking is mindset is ridiculously important. You know, you can be happy 100% of the time. No matter what circumstances you are in, even if you're not making a cent online, if you choose to be. So I've read a lot of good advice from authors and spiritual leaders. If you really want an interesting read, just go into Google and type "what is the meaning of life," and you'll get some really interesting stuff there. So that's where I think I get the best advice, by sure.
All right, brilliant. Thanks very much, Jared, for this interview. Is there any plans, personal or business, that you would like to share with us?
Not really. If anyone, obviously, you mentioned my blog already. If you want to find what I do, it's just Google my name. I find it's the easiest way, Yaro, Y-A-R-O, and you'll get my blog. And I think there's one piece of advice I'll end with is if you are in any sort of teaching space, take a leaf out of Michael's book here and get on a podcast like this or an interview and talk to someone, record it, and stick it up on your blog or your website as an interview, because What Michael's doing now is actually one of the key things I did to grow my blog. So definitely a powerful tip. And I'll end with that one.
All right. Thanks very much, Yara.
Thanks, Mike.